Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
Hey everybody out there, it's Barbecue Nation and I'm JT along with Reynolds here in the Super Production Studio high above the city of Portland. The end is near, that is the end of summer for most of us, but it doesn't mean that it is the end of grilling season. In fact, it's not the end of great meals altogether. We have a lot of seafood here in the Pacific Northwest, as you know, and I talk about it a lot, and today, I'm very pleased and honored to have as a guest here on Barbecue Nation, Kelly Tope, Vice President of Sales and Marketing of Neptune Foods. They're headquartered down in Southern California. Kelly literally travels the world and works with some of the top chefs out there in the business, developing recipes for various kinds of seafood. And, of course, as you know, our musical guest today is Foreigner. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you doing today?
I am great. I am great. I am upright and breathing, and that's a guy my age, that's a good deal.
I agree.
So a little bit about seafood here. I guess some of the basic things I'd want to ask you is, right off the top of the head, people go into the grocery stores or their fish markets if they have one and they look at them. How do they really know if the fish or the seafood is fresh and, you know, viable to take home, prepare, and put on their plate?
Well, you look for certain things, especially like in fin fish. If you're looking at, let's say, at a salmon or a tilapia, you want to avoid like the freezer burn because, like on a tilapia, it gets really mushy if you cook with it. With like catfish, it'll have like a reddish yellow coloring. When it doesn't look fresh and bright, that's what's something you want to steer away from. Anything that looks like freezer burn as well. But one thing when I purchase it, I always buy frozen myself, only because if it's still frozen, if it's thawed out, you don't know how long it's been thawed out. You don't know how long it's been in the counter. And a lot of people think that since it's thawed out or in a butcher block, it's automatically fresh, and it's not the case.
Well, don't they have to label it? I know they have to do with meat products and stuff that says previously frozen.
Correct. But how long has it been previously frozen?
Right.
How long ago was it? And then you just want to look for certain things, the smell especially, like, especially like shrimp and things like that that has like a little pneumonia smell.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's been treated real heavily. You want to make sure it has no smell or like a seawater smell. And just watch for things like the black spots or poor quality is, you know, an indication of poor quality. And then you want to also to just make sure that nowadays they have like the BAP logo on it or the MSC logo, which is Best Agricultural Practice. They're actually sustainable guidelines. They're companies that have certifications to make sure that we're supposed to be responsible, like whether it's environmentally or socially.
Sure. So when you were talking about black spots and stuff, explain that to our listeners. I mean, is that just a piece of decay or mold or something that's starting there? Or
no, it's like little tiny black spots. It's melanosis, and it means it's either been mishandled or it's poor quality. It's usually on the shell.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see it a lot. Usually it's in the black tigers and some of the, those kind of species. Usually the grocery stores are really good about, you know, watching for things like that.
Sure.
But it usually shows mishandling. It's kind of like when you see two shrimp that are frozen together, like in a package. If you're buying a frozen package, a retail package, and you'll see two or three shrimp that are frozen together, that means it's been thawed already and refrozen. And that's things like that you want to avoid.
That's no bueno on that deal. I can tell you from a cook's perspective, that's no bueno on that deal. It is. What's a couple of quick questions there, something you made me think of. You said they're treated with ammonia?
Well, pneumonia is kind of like, it has a pneumonia smell. It's not treated with ammonia. It's usually tripolyphosphate.
Okay.
And that's a pump that they put in, and it adds weight, but it also, you know, a lot of the countries will add it to preserve the shrimp, which you can do with a protective glaze just as well, or a little bit of salt solution.
Sure.
But, you know, if it's over-treated, you're going to get that pneumonia smell.
So how do they determine, like, if it's been frozen too long? I mean, I know that you're talking about freezer burn, but, you know, run us through, Kelly, what would be, okay, the shrimp are still alive and they're put in the net or harvested, however the company does it, and then what optimally should be the time from the time that they're harvested to the time that they're cooked and treated to the shelf? I mean, what's the lag time on that?
Well, usually overseas what they do is they pull from the farm. It is either put into either IQF or in block form, and then it's shipped to the U.S. A lot of times, a lot of the like retailers will have them do it overseas, so it should be frozen usually within the same day, within 8 hours of the time it's pulled from the farm.
Okay.
So it's a quick process, and if it's pumped or if they're doing something further to it, maybe let's say like a grocery chain, once a little weight on it, that's still within the guidelines, that has happened right before it's into the frozen process.
Okay, now are there different grades? And like, I'm a big shrimp guy, and you know that, but I mean, I love to cook with shrimp, I love to create with them. I'm, you know, being the cowboy cook, everybody assumes it's beef, but I do a lot with seafood. But you know, are there different grades of shrimp that people, I mean, I know there's different sizes and different, you know, some are the little bay shrimp and some are you know, big prawns kind of looking things. But run us through that really quick.
Well, there's different species. It's not the grade. I mean, I wouldn't really put it a grade. It just there's some that are treated and some that aren't. I would prefer a non-treated, of course.
Uh-huh.
But you have like especially your main species that are here in the United States, which is your freshwater, your Gulf, your pinks. But mostly in the stores and the retail, it's your black tigers and your white shrimp. And they're what you commonly see. There's, some people prefer, it just depends on what the preference is, because there's
sure.
Product of China, there's product of Mexico, there's product of different, and like Mexico, they won't treat it at all. Because they can't afford to.
Yeah.
Where in the Asian countries, they tend to treat more often, pretty much like before it's breaded or further processed and things like that to add the weight, a little bit of weight to it.
How much shrimp do we import? Not just your company, but overall. I know your company's a big player in that, but how many tons or metric tons of shrimp do we bring in?
You know, you got me on that one. It's the number one seller of seafood is shrimp. But I know how many containers we bring in. I couldn't tell you on that one, Jeff.
Sure.
I mean, it's just, but it is the top 10. I should probably look that one up for you.
Oh, that's fine. No worry. But, okay, so if they want, you know, a lot of people are kind of hung up on local, you know, made in the USA, that type of thing, which is great. But do we actually produce shrimp here in this country anymore?
We do, the Gulf shrimp and, you know, of course, the fresh water. But the amount of consumption that's in the United States, they don't produce enough. It's only maybe 10% of what the consumers need in the United States.
So sure.
The rest has to come from other countries. And especially the white shrimp, the biggest players in that is like China, Indonesia, Ecuador, Vietnam. It just depends because it's a real sweet, that's one of your number one shrimps. That's what you want to bread your, you know, have your breaded shrimp and your,
uh-huh.
Usually in your, like your scampies and all that kind of stuff. It's a real, you know, mild shrimp. Sweet, but firm, but wild, mild.
Mild, wild, mild.
Mild, wild. Yeah, something like that.
That's kind of like you, Kel. Mild,
yeah.
But wild. There
I just need one more cup of coffee, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what shrimp do you eat the most?
I prefer the white shrimp.
Yeah.
Yes, I really like the Mexican whites, but the Vaname whites here in the States that are brought into the States, they're that's what all the chain restaurants and that's what all the retail stores really go for because that's what the consumer's used to seeing.
Okay. All right.
And it's versatile too.
It is versatile. We're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back with Kelly Tope from Neptune Foods, and we're going to be talking about the origins of some different dishes and fishes. How's that? Stay tuned. More of Barbecue Nation coming up.
It's full-flavored radio, Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
Out in the street, it's 6 a.m., another sleepless night.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network and our home base of KXL here in beautiful downtown Portland. I'm JT along with super producer Reynolds there. A couple of things, little pieces of business. First, you can email us at barbecuenation@kxl.com. That's BBQNation. Or if you want to send us a recipe and maybe try to pick up one of those smokehouse smoke boxes from us, you can do that also at recipes@kxl.com. Reynolds, you want to tell them about Facebook?
Sure, I'd love to. Facebook.com/BBQNation with JT.
There you go. How about that? Also, to a couple of our affiliates here, KPNW in Eugene and KACI in the Dalles and Hood River. We've got Kelly Tope with us on here. Little full disclosure, I've known Kelly for a long time. I'm not going to tell you how I've known her because that's private. But I've known Kelly and... just say she's part of the Barbecue Nation family and leave it at that, okay?
Thank you.
You found out that how many, some historical data for us to kind of put that in perspective, how many metric tons?
Right. And all the data is a little bit behind because they're usually around 2 years behind with the actual numbers. But white shrimp alone in 2013 reached 3.3 million metric tons.
Yeah, that's as a... I guess we could beep it here. Beep. Tons. Yeah, like that, as my daughter would say. Your niece. Fish for barbecuing, fish for grilling. Hence the name of the show, Barbecue Nation, Kel. But, you know, we have, of course, up here, we're salmon folks up in the Northwest. You grew up here, so you understand that.
Right.
But, you know, we do salmon, steelhead, of course, trout, different things like that. But... I'm also a big whitefish guy. I like halibut, you know, orange roughy, if you can get it. You and I were talking about that the other day. What are your suggestions as far as the species of fish to grill and to prepare outdoors or indoors? And then we'll talk some about specifics in preparing them.
Well, actually, there's seven of them that I think are really good fin fish for the grill. And one is the Atlantic salmon. And then one is the tilapia, and catfish is good, mahi, halibut, monkfish, tuna, and the orange roughy, but it's really hard to come by. Right now it's in a cycle, so it won't be the quota is going to be down on it for a period of time.
And before we go on with the different species, who decides, you know, we hear that a lot, the quotas, and if you're a fisherman, like here in the Northwest, you know that the different fishery councils and the Department of Wildlife and your respective state and all that stuff, they all have input into, you know, your rivers and lakes and what you can fish there, but also out, you know, to the international barrier 12 miles off, whatever, and it's different for fishing. Who decides that out in the real ocean?
Well, it's actually the fisheries and some of the certified bodies like the BAP and the MSC. They look at what the catch has been, and if it's overfished, they have to look at. There's a lot of things that go into that. NOAA is part of that. There's just a lot of entities that are involved in it. It's like, for example, the orange roughy, as we had talked about it. That particular species, it's 20 years old before it even starts breeding, and then it's like 40, 50 years old, just in a normal lifespan, but it can go up to 125 to 150 years old, so it can get overfished pretty easily.
Kind of like sturgeon in our area, you know?
Right.
We have, if you see a sturgeon that's, you know, 10 feet long and weighs 250 pounds, it's not 3 years old. You know, well, they're bottom feeders. They sit on the bottom and they just eat stuff all day long, and they just grow in the dark, and kind of like the radio business, you know, growing mushrooms type thing. Anyway, some recipes, Kel. Excuse me, real quick. How do you like to prepare your fish, like on the grill? You and David go outside and you're having a cocktail there on your veranda and you're going to throw something on the grill. And I know you don't eat McFishwitches, so help me out here.
We do a lot of marinating. I love skewers and things like that, but you know, you've got to be really careful because any kind of the marinades, especially with seafood, shrimp, or fin fish, if it has acid, like acidity type, like lemons, limes, grapefruit, oranges, mm-hmm. you don't want to marinate over 20 to 30 minutes for shrimp because it breaks it down and makes it really mushy.
Yep.
And same as the fin fish, you know, no more than an hour. So I like to do sometimes like, you know, whales and different kind of garlic, dill, oregano,
sure.
that type thing. That way you can leave it in for a little bit longer period of time. But we do a lot of skewers. I love seafood anyhow. One of my favorite is monkfish.
Now, is that the little guys with the cymbals and the peanuts, or what are the monkfish?
Monkfish are usually out of the Gulf in South America. They're really mild, sweet. They got a real clean taste to them.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of off-white in color when they're cooked. They have another nickname. It's called poor man lobster. It's got the texture of lobster tail, and it's probably one of the ugliest fish you're ever going to see. I mean, it's just horrible.
Well they start out at a disadvantage with a name like Mung. You know, you got Mung fish, and you say, no. You know, you're not going to be looking at like the Bridget Bardot of fish there. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just not going to happen. So are you a one skewer or a two skewerer?
I like to do one, but you know, sometimes I'll do two. Just depends on how large the shrimp is.
Yeah, I've come to like to do two because when I put other things with it, you know, if I'm putting some raw vegetables or pineapple or something like that with it, two skewers hold it together better. They look like little goalposts.
Right.
You know? And do you soak your skewers?
Oh yes.
Oh yeah, good girl.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
girl.
Yeah. Do you usually do the larger sizes? I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. You know, and that's another thing, too. I don't know if you've ever touched that subject, but especially in retail, the packaging, everybody thinks it's a one-pound package, and that's how they get the pricing. It looks like the pricing is really good on it. So, for example, if you have a 16-20, which you should average 18 shrimp per pound,
mm-hmm.
you buy a 12-ounce package, you get home, and you're thinking, okay, well, I'm going to get about 18 in this package, but you only get 10 because it's a 12-ounce package.
Right.
It's really misleading to the customer and consumer, but that's how they do their advertising and marketing because they can, you know, make it look like you're getting so much for your money. But that's just one thing I always want to tell people to look for.
Yep. We're going to take another break. We're going to be back with Kelly Taupe here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be lightning round and some more fish stories. Kelly's excited about this, I can tell.
Oh, God.
We'll be right back.
Got a question for JT? Call him right now at 503-417-9KXL or 877-733-1011.
Welcome back to the Nation, Barbecue Nation, here on the Radio Northwest Network and KXL here in beautiful downtown Portland. I'm JT along with Reynolds, and don't forget you can email us at barbecuenation.com if you have a question or comment. And if you want to send us a recipe and get into winning a smoke box where you can turn your gas grill into a smoker, it's really a cool little item. You can do that at recipes@kxl.com. We've got Kelly Taupe with us today. She's a VP from Neptune Foods in Southern California, and they do fish. They do seafood. They do fish. And Kelly, when you're cooking at home, what's your favorite seasoning for whitefish? Let's start it this way. I mean, you know, people have their go-to items when they're cooking.
Right. I really like, especially for the sweeter ones, I like garlic. My go-to is like garlic and oil and olive oil. And
sure.
I love just a lot of fresh seasonings.
Yeah. I think it's best. I agree with what I'm saying with that. I like the fresh seasonings. With like halibut and stuff, I may use a little basil or, you know, swap around. We have all those great flavored salts now, you know, Himalayan garlic pink and all this stuff. And you don't need much salt on seafoods, but a little bit helps, you know, there and there.
Right.
So that works good. What is Dave like? Dave's her husband, by the way, folks.
Yeah. He loves mahi. Mahi is one of his favorite. And I like to do like a citrus on that. Like, you know, the lemon, orange flavors, a little tropical.
So if one of our listeners is just kind of getting started in, you know, grilling and barbecuing and that type of thing, and they want to do fish, give us your advice for them on kind of where to start. Because, you know, it's like everything. It takes practice and a little experience. But where can they start and kind of what to look for, say, with a piece of halibut, which is common up here?
Oh, okay, like if they're going to go purchase it.
And purchase it and then take it home and cook it.
Right. Well, the halibut is very lean. It's got a real mild taste. Know your fish so that way when you go to put your seasonings or any of that type of thing, you kind of blend with the whatever the fin fish is.
Sure.
Make sure your cooking time, because like fillets really only take about 6 or 8 minutes for if they're like a half inch thick, or three quarters is 10 minutes. Know your time because it can overcook so easily. And then for me, it's, you know, just making sure the portion sizes are correct, you know, the right size and that type of thing. I think I might have missed half your question.
No, you're fine. But I think that's true because, you know, if you're going to do like a salmon fillet or something, which is, you know, they're fairly thin. They don't get much thicker than maybe 3/4 of an inch, you know, after they've been filleted properly. You can overcook that very easily. Do you cook it with the skin side down, or how do you do it?
Well, it depends. Like on my salmon, I usually get boneless, skinless. Halibut, you know, I like the steaks, but I also like the fillets.
Sure.
Tilapia is usually boneless, skinless. But if I you know, when you do your flip, I usually sometimes do a foil, especially with the skin on.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
I am a skin side down on the fillet. I don't turn the fish ever. I use kind of the convection type cooking process, if you will. I just season it. But what I do at the very end is I'll come in like with some salmon and I'll squeeze some orange juice, like I cut an orange in half and squeeze it on top of there. And then I may put some capers or some chopped green onions or whatever on top and let it finish off really quick. Or I may use some raw brown sugar or what we call granulated sugar. And I may sprinkle a little bit of that on for the last 3 or 4 minutes. So it kind of is a crunchy little glaze on it. I mean, there's a number of things I do, but I always do that. And then when you go to serve it, you can just slide your spatula or your knife between the skin and the meat, and it just lifts right off.
Right.
So it's really cool.
I'm a rookie cook.
You're a rookie cook? I don't think so. Okay, Kel, here is your...
Uh-oh.
It's the time. Go ahead and hit it, Reynolds, when we got it there. You like the music?
Be easy on me.
I will be. Kelly Tope from Neptune Foods. This is your lightning round, dear. What have you learned so far about dealing with the egos of top chefs?
Yeah, they're always right. Uh-huh. They're always right.
Okay. What is the hardest part of your job for you?
It is probably trying to hammer out what would be the best application for their menu item.
Okay. Your preference of gas, charcoal, or pellet grills?
I'm going to say charcoal.
Okay. What's the worst seafood you ever ate?
Probably lefse.
Death. I can't even say it.
I don't, can't stand the smell either.
What's your favorite seafood to barbecue or smoke? I mean, you've already covered this a little bit earlier in the show, but go ahead.
I like monkfish, halibut, and salmon are my three favorites.
Okay. Toughest skill for a beginning barbecuer or griller to learn about dealing with fish?
I'm sorry, what was that?
The toughest skill for a beginning cook, if you will, to learn about working with fish.
Not to overcook.
There you go. What cooking skill took you the longest to master?
Not to overcook.
Okay. This is a recording. Which of these would you rather barbecue? Thanksgiving turkey, a Yule log, a Christmas goose, or an octopus tongue, or the Easter bunny?
Probably the Easter bunny. How's that?
There you go. I think she's the first one that's ever said the Easter. Number two? She's number two? Reynolds keeps tracks of these things for me. Anyway, Easter bunnies are good. What is the best day of activities contained for Kelly Tope when she's not at work?
What is my favorite activity?
No, what is your best day of activities contained for you when you're not at work?
I like to go riding.
On?
Motorcycle.
Okay. Do you have a favorite barbecue cookbook?
No, but I love the website, the All Recipes.
Yeah? Yeah, that's good stuff. Do you remember what the first thing you ever barbecued or smoked was?
Pork loin.
Okay. What's the worst concert you ever attended?
Three Dog Night. Is that aging me?
Well, that's okay. I saw them with Joe Cocker in Memorial Coliseum. I was four, but, yeah, they were the warm-up band for Joe Cocker. The dumbest thing you've ever seen with a grill or a barbecue?
Dumbest thing would be, you stumped me on that one. I'm trying to think of something dumb.
We can come back to that. Where's the worst place you've ever had to cook?
Probably at my mother-in-law's.
Okay. For someone new into barbecuing and grilling, especially with fish, what would you recommend them to start with as far as the actual fish?
Salmon.
Okay. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Okay. Elton John or Ed Ames?
Elton John.
Okay. Star Trek or Jason Bourne?
Jason Bourne.
Okay. Tom Jones or Led Zeppelin?
Led Zeppelin.
Okay. Vodka or beer?
Oh, that's easy. Vodka.
Okay. All right. So let's go back now and try to finish up with that one question. Kelly, the dumbest thing you've ever seen done with a grill. Can be indoors or outdoors.
Probably dumbest thing, not to clean it first.
Okay. All right. You passed. Yay, right. Kelly. Yay, Kelly.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. How much time we got left here? 1 minute? Okay, I got to do a little housework here, and then we're coming back. You know why more barbecue enthusiasts choose Bear Mountain Pellets? It's because of their quality. I've been there. I've been to the plant. I've seen this happen. They are made up in Hood River, and they produce a very light, delicate smoke that doesn't overtake the flavor of the meat, and you can have your, choose a different flavor, whether it's apple or hickory or cherry, whatever type of finish wood you want, because they use a soft wood here. There's no glues. There's no, perfumes or anything like that. It's Bear Mountain Forest Products. You find them at a good retailer near you.
Okay,
we can do that. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with wrap up the show with Kelly Tope from Neptune Foods right after this.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT on FM News 101.
Couldn't get a ticket. It was a sold-out show. Heard the roar of the crowd. He could picture the scene.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT along with Reynolds. We have got Kelly Tope with us today. Kelly is the VP. She's one of the big dogs there at Neptune Foods, and they're one of the largest importers of seafood and shellfish, finfish, all that stuff in the world. A couple of things here really quick. If you're headed up to Squamish this weekend, they're having a barbecue contest up there called the Clearwater 216 Grill Fest. And they have a 30-team limit, but there's $15,000 up for grabs there. And the Benton Franklin Fair Barbecue Cook-Off, I couldn't say that right, up in Kennewick this weekend, too. They've got about $3,500 up for grabs on the, and those are all Pacific Northwest Barbecue Association events. If you're going to head down to like Wendover, Nevada, they've got the Wild West Barbecue Shootout there. That's a state championship. They've got $28,000 in prizes down there. So there's some stuff going on out there in the world besides here in Portland if you're into barbecue. Okay, Kelly, really quickly, what if you could do one thing in the food world, especially, you know, you're in the seafood business, what would it be if there's one thing you could, a message you could get across to listeners and consumers?
Don't be afraid to try new finfish or different species. A lot of people don't know the names. You know, they're familiar with, like, the typical names of salmon, catfish, tilapia. Try something that's out there, whether it's an orange roughy or a barramundi or, you know, different species. Just be open to them.
Monkfish. You got to do monkfish.
Monkfish.
Yeah, you forgot that.
My monkfish, yeah.
So how many, we got time for about one more question here. How many times a week or a month do you actually get to stay home and cook with David? Because you travel a lot.
We probably cook, I would say, twice a month on a Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But you're always traveling around the, not just the country, but the world, meeting and working with people on this.
We have plants that are in China and Thailand. We have two in Thailand, three in China, and we just got a second plant in Argentina.
Do you like all the travel?
I do. There's some days, you know, because especially with all the regulations on you know, air traffic and getting through the security lines and that type of thing. Even though I'm usually go through the quick TSA,
sure,
but it still takes time and it wears you out. I'm getting old.
Yeah, well, you know, I figured out the other day that I had logged well over 2 million miles in the air in my career. And I just thought, well, that's, you know, great. I'm really happy about that.
You get to fly for free on your vacations, right?
I let a lot of those miles expire when I came off the road. So I don't have that many. I've only got about 300,000 or 400,000 anymore. So anyway, Kelly Tope from Neptune Foods, don't hang up, dear, but thank you for being on the show with us today.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. We've got folks got the FBI tournament coming up, and I'm going to post that on the KXL website. That's the G-Man Shootout, which I support every year. That's coming up in the 7th of September. So if you want to put a team together, I'll show you how to do that. That tournament actually supports the children or wives or husbands of agents that died or were killed in the line of duty. So we do that. Also, next week we're going to be talking about some new barbecue gadgets. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you what they are, but we got some new cool digital stuff coming. So we're going to have a couple interviews on that. I want to thank Kelly Tope for being with us again from Neptune Foods. We appreciate that. Kelly gave me a good resource off the air for you folks, seafoodsource.com, and so we'll be posting that. McGarian is coming up, and Bushlack's coming up behind him. So remember, folks, turn it, don't burn it. I'm JT for Reynolds. Hope you have a great week. Remember, barbecue it, cook it, do something with it. Have fun. Be safe. See you next week. Jukebox Hero.
Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions LLC. All rights reserved, copyright 2016. Barbecue Nation is managed skillfully by Reynolds in production compound 4 high above the skyline of PDX, the one with no windows. We'll be back next week with another entertaining and fun edition of Barbecue Nation. At least, that's what we believe. Remember, a good long smolder is better than a 2-minute flameout. See you next week.